If you don't know Balaam's story, you are behind the eight ball. Most Christians don't really know who Balaam is, and that's a shame. He is actually one of the most referenced characters in the Bible. Balaam's name comes up 59 times in Scripture. In comparison, Mary is only mentioned 14 times. I think everyone listening's heard of Mary before. Do you know her name only comes up 14 times in the Bible? Every Christian knows who Mary is. Now, of course, she's a little bit more important in the story of the Bible than Balaam is, of course. But it's just interesting. Balaam comes up 4 times as much as she does. His name is mentioned, and yet not very many people know about Balaam. He's mentioned in the Bible more than Noah, more than Sarah, more than Levi, more than Rachel, more than Isaiah. So if you don't know who Balaam is, it's about time that you do. And that's why I've done a few episodes now talking about the prophet Balaam. And he is a lightning rod for weird stuff. And that makes his story very fertile ground for a podcast about weird stuff in the Bible. And so here's a question that I've been wondering about. Was Balaam a true prophet or a false prophet? And I ask this because technically, everything Balaam says comes true. And that's the test of whether someone's a true or a false prophet, right? And yet, 2 Peter 2, and that's a chapter all about false prophets, it says they have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So everything Balaam said was a true prophecy, and yet the New Testament still implies that he was a false prophet. So is this confusing or what? I find all of this to be weird, and I'd like to figure out why it's in the Bible. I think I have a solution to this problem, and I'm going to share it with you today. Turn to Numbers 23, and let's get weird. Welcome to Weird Stuff in the Bible, where we explore scripture passages that are bizarre, perplexing, or just plain weird. This is Luke Taylor, and today we're going to be talking about Balaam at least one more time here, and I want to talk about what actually happened when Balaam finally made it up that mountain. So to refresh you, or to catch you up, Balaam is a prophet with a genuine gift. I mean, he truly hears from God, he truly speaks the words of God, but Balaam also has this strong desire to use his prophetic gift to make money off of it. And so over the previous two lessons, we've reviewed how Balaam was offered a job by King Balak of the Moabites. And Balak is just wigged out by all these Israelites who are encamped in the valley nearby. He's afraid the Israelites are here to conquer him. In reality, I think they probably would have left him alone. But see, Balak, he doesn't want to take that chance. And so he hires a prophet named Balaam, and he hires him to go up on this mountain and to curse these Israelites. Now, maybe you're saying, well, what's the big deal here? I mean, what would that really do if Balaam cursed the Israelites? And the answer is, you know, I don't rightly know. I don't know because it didn't happen. I don't know the future. I'm guessing it probably would have done something in the spiritual realm. It probably would have unleashed demonic forces against the Israelites. That would be my best guess. And if that's the case, you know, it's interesting how much power that our words really hold. And I think this story really demonstrates the truth of Ephesians 6. We do not war against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle. And it even comes down to what words we say. It has an effect in the spiritual realm. You know, we can't see what happens in the spiritual the same way that we do in the physical, but we do see the effects. There are spiritual causes that will have physical effects, and there are physical causes that can have spiritual effects. Our words would be one of those things. Our prayers, those are something that start in the physical, but they make changes in the spiritual, and then hopefully those changes boomerang back and make changes in the physical. So our battles are in the spiritual realm. How do I know that it would have been a really, really bad thing for Balaam to go up on this mountain and curse the Israelites? How do I know it would have done something bad? Because God took it seriously. He had the angel of the Lord come down with a sword and was standing there to kill Balaam to keep him from doing this thing. We kind of read this earlier, but Balaam's donkey saved his life. God literally opened the donkey's mouth, and God gave the donkey words to speak. I think what he said was, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And basically, that certainly got Balaam's attention. And so Balaam decided not to go up and curse the Israelites. He said, I will only speak the words that God puts into my mouth. That was the caveat that God really put on him. He said, you can go on up the mountain, but only say the words that I put in your mouth. So that is the warning that Balaam has been given. And that's what we've been talking about the past couple of lessons. Is he going to listen? Is he going to use his prophetic gift for good? Or will he use it for evil? Is he a true prophet or a false prophet? That's what we're going to figure out today. So in Numbers 23, verse 7, this is when he finally gets up there on that mountain. He stands before the people. He's going to take up his words. Balak is standing nearby. He's excited. He thinks this curse is about to come out of Balaam's mouth. And instead, Balaam says this. From Aram, Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me. And come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone, and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them. And he answered and said, must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? So I love this exchange. It goes on for a little bit longer. Balak's upset. He's like, oh, you were supposed to curse him right here, and instead you blessed him. Let's go up on an even higher mountain and let's try this again. And so Balaam and Balak climb to a higher mountain. Once again, Balaam prays. And I know what Balaam's praying for. He's asking God for permission to curse Israel because he really wants that money. He's like saying, God, what do I say? He's hoping God's going to give him permission to curse him. God gives Balaam instead another blessing, and he speaks another blessing over Israel. I'm condensing the story here because if you want to read it all, it's in Numbers chapter 23 and 24. So Balak loses his temper again. He says, okay, we're going to try this one more time. Let's go up on an even higher mountain. And that's what they do. They go up on an even higher mountain. And once again, Balaam stands up there and speaks a blessing over the camp of Israel. My favorite part of the whole thing is verse 25 in chapter 24. Verse 25, Balak says, neither bless them nor curse them at all. He's like, shut up, Balaam. You're only making it worse. And so basically Balak's big scheme, it all fails. Every time he tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, instead, Balaam would bless it. And so you can, you know, if you read the Bible, if you ever keep an eye out for humor, I just feel like there's some humor in this whole scenario. Like if I could have a time machine, this would be one of the things I'd want to go back and watch from the Bible. I'd pay big bucks to see this. So just Balak hopping around trying to shut down Balaam's prophecies. It would have been funny. And so, as I said, Balak and Balaam, they kept going up higher and higher on this mountain and giving more and more of these oracles of blessing on Israel is how it turned out. And after three times, this is what it finally says in chapter 24. It says, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies. And behold, you have blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee to your own place. I said, I will certainly honor you, but the Lord has held you back from honor. But Balaam's response to all of this, after Balak says, just go home, Balaam's like, wait a minute. God is giving me a fourth transmission. That's right. There's a fourth oracle that comes out in this story. And this one is about far off in the future. Balaam actually then blurts out a messianic prophecy. He gives a prophecy about Jesus. Numbers 24:17. He says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so truly Balaam gave some incredible prophecies. And you might not know this. This is not even the end of Balaam's story. He did some more stuff after this, some more bad stuff, actually. But in this part of the story, he was not permitted by God to directly curse Israel. Later, he was going to tell Moab how they could get Israel to sabotage themselves. And that's an interesting story as well. That's called it's tied up with this thing called the Doctrine of Balaam. We might come back to that on a future episode. But I just want to focus on Balaam's prophecies today. Okay, I read from a couple of them there. Balaam was a prophet, and everything that he said as a prophecy in Scripture was true. He even gave a prophecy about Jesus. This guy gave a lot of incredible words from the Lord, and yet he's listed in the New Testament among the false prophets. 2 Peter 2 is a chapter that's all about false prophets. From first verse to last, that's what it is telling us about. Verse 1 of that chapter, but false prophets also arose among the people. And as you read 2 Peter chapter 2, all the way through it, it's all about false prophets, including whenever you come down to verse 15. It says, they have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. You also see a warning about Balaam in the book of Jude, verse 11, where it says, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. And there's even a warning about Balaam in the letters to the churches in Revelation. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So again, I said the doctrine of Balaam, that's something I might come back to in a future episode, but we see these warnings, and especially they're clustered right here at the end of the New Testament. It's like, watch out for the way of Balaam. Watch out for the error of Balaam. Watch out for the doctrine of Balaam. This guy who only ever gave true prophecies, and yet he's condemned and listed among the false prophets. So why was he called a false prophet? Well, here's why I think it was. Here's why I think Balaam was a false prophet. Even though he said the right things, he had evil motivations in his heart. Motive matters, guys. Motive matters. Balaam said all the right things, but he desired the wrong things in his heart. The way of Balaam, that was what it mentioned in 2 Peter 2:15. The way of Balaam was that he loved money more than righteousness. Or as we read, it said he loved gain from wrongdoing. The New King James, it says, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He would rather be rich than be holy. The error of Balaam, that was Jude 11. It said apostates have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. The error of Balaam is to use ministry for personal profit. And that's what was in Balaam's heart. So even when he said the right things, even when he kind of did the right things outwardly, the Lord looks on the heart. Outward obedience is not enough. Saying the right thing is not enough, not for God to accept Balaam. And it's because the Lord looks on the heart. That's what it says in 1 Samuel 16. It says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's this quote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jude's admonition was that we even watch out for people who say all the right things because their motives might not be pure. And be a careful student of someone's character. Don't just look at the spiritual gifts, okay? Don't just assume that because somebody has a spiritual gift that it automatically means that they're right with God. Spiritual gifts are not the same as spiritual fruit. I've had some conversations with God about this before. You know, I've known people who had great spiritual gifts, but yet it's like they didn't really have the godly lifestyle to back it up. I mean, I've questioned God about this before. I was like, God, I don't understand this. Like, how are you using this person this way in one area, but then they have all these moral problems or character flaws over in this other area? And I've tried to understand this sometimes. Here's what I believe. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's in Romans 11. It means God gives gifts to his children. And once that gift is given, God doesn't change his mind. If God puts a calling on someone's life, God doesn't change his mind. And I've heard, I've questioned God about this, like I said, because I've heard Christians who have the gift of speaking in tongues, and yet there's also some other pretty disgusting things that'll come out of their mouth sometimes. And I would question God on that. I'd be like, why does the Holy Spirit take up residence in that tongue, empower that tongue with a spiritual gift, but that same tongue is being used for gossip or for slander or for foul language? But you know what? The Bible said it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Okay? God gives gifts out of grace and mercy. That's what the Greek word for spiritual gifts means. It's charismata. It means grace gifts. Spiritual gifts are by God's grace, just like salvation was. You can't do anything to earn them. They are for the Holy Spirit to distribute as he wills. And so when someone has a spiritual gift, it doesn't make them better than someone else because they have it. This is something that can only be given by the Holy Spirit alone. It's given by grace. And spiritual gifts are not spiritual fruit. If God gives you a spiritual gift, you're not benefiting the body of Christ unless you're using it and using it properly. If God graces you with a gift, you're not going to be blessed in heaven just because God gave you a gift. You're going to be judged based on how you used it. Okay, remember these words: to whom much is given, much is required. A gift is a responsibility. It's not something you're going to be rewarded for just for having it. You got to use it right. Balaam had the gift, but he didn't have the character. He didn't have the character to properly steward that gift. And so, like I said, this wasn't the end of Balaam's story. If you keep reading his story, you see that he was motivated to use his gift because he wanted to earn money off of it. Later on, he stabbed Israel in the back. And, you know, I could come back and I could finish this story. I probably will at some point. Let me just put this out there to the audience. Do you want me to go ahead and finish it up next week, the story of Balaam? Or would you rather that I go ahead to the next part of Jude 11? And that's going to be talking about Korah's rebellion. I'm going to leave that up to the audience. Okay, just let me know what you would like. Do you want me to wrap up Balaam right now? Or do you want me to move ahead in the Jude study and look at Korah, and we'll just come back to Balaam later? So leave a comment or send me an email, weirdstuffinthebible@gmail.com. That's how you can get in touch. And just let me know where you want me to go next, and that's where I'll be next week. So in closing, we started talking about Balaam back in the first place. Like, we started into him 3 weeks ago, and it was because of Jude 11. Okay? Let me just remind you, the book of Jude is a book about apostasy, and we've been working our way through it one verse at a time. Jude is about apostasy, and that means to fall away from the truth of Christianity. Jude is like a minefield guide, okay? It's telling you where all the mines are that you need to watch out for, all the traps that you could step on that could blow up your faith, blow up your relationship with God. Jude 11 is a verse that gives three of them. It says, "Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion." So Balaam's error is that he would rather have just a little bit of extra cash on the side instead of doing the right thing. You know, actually, it wasn't a little extra cash. He was offered a lot of money. It took a lot of money to buy his integrity. And I'll just end with asking you that question. What is your integrity worth? You know, we can be hard on Balaam all day long, but I've seen some Christians sell their integrity for a lot less. Christians will cut corners. They'll lie on their taxes. They'll do whatever it takes to save a buck. I mean, some Christians will sell their integrity for $5. Okay. At least Balaam made his worth a lot, but what's your integrity worth? What would you sell it for? You know, think about that this week. I hope you don't have a numerical answer to that question. Don't love money more than doing what's right. Jude says that is on the path to apostasy. No matter how many spiritual gifts you have, remember, the Lord looks at the heart. He's not impressed with your gifts. He gave you the gifts. The Lord is looking at your heart. Balaam was a prophet who truly heard from God, and he shared God's words. Yet because he loved money more than righteousness, because of his evil motivations, he was a false prophet. And I guess there's more to being a prophet than just getting prophecy right. You have to get your heart right. And nobody, no matter how many spiritual gifts they have, nobody is too spiritual to be above righteous standards. Remember that the Bible is not weird. We are weird because we don't realize that spiritual gifts are not the same as spiritual fruit. But now we do. Thanks for listening. God bless you for sticking around till the end, and we'll see you next time.